Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Hour number two, Thursday, October the 16th, 2025, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. The guest today, Naomi Craig. We usually hear her calling in. We always enjoy that. Opinions are always welcome on this show, and has been outspoken against things going on in the city and other things. And yesterday we talked about Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion Mount Gilead Road, the big controversy. What do we call that street out there? Route 95. But today, very, very, very important story, and I think you'll be hearing more about this as time goes along. The posthumous indictment of the man who... Do we have to say alleged at this point?
I suppose you can, but I'm not. I'm going to say he's the murderer. I mean, what's he going to do, come back and sue me?
Yeah, the alleged murderer of your mother 46 years ago has been posthumously indicted. He died in 2019. One question we did get from the internet, so I'm going to go back to this. It's a paraphrase. Anybody from the Marion Police Department, because a lot of them are still around, I think, who were there in the 80s, who would have had some knowledge of this?
I don't know. I don't know who was around in the 80s. I've noticed a couple of people, comments were made about the police department back then, and I've seen some people making comments in different comment sections about this person or that person, but I don't really know who any of the people were back then. But I do know that within the past 30 years that Bill Collins and Jay McDonald and Mark Russell have been sitting up there. And no, I realize that they weren't the chief the whole time, but Mark Russell has been the law director for the past 30 years. And any time that my family contacted the law director in the past 30 years, we were told that no evidence existed. So that would be Mark Russell directly or by proxy lying to my family or to myself for the past three decades. McDonald or Collins at any point could have went and dusted off a cold case, whether it was for me or for somebody else. So that tells me that the policy of the city of Marion is to not give a shit about cold cases.
Well, it's just interesting to me that this letter was in there, and I can't remember who the police chief was in 1983, but that person, I think they bear a lot of blame.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why would they? I'm sure they have to sign off on something. Even if they weren't the detective investigating, the police chief in 1983, to know that this confession letter came in, and they bring the guy in to question him.
Less than a week later.
And just let him go.
And just let him go.
Now, why that never became a thing, I really don't understand.
You and I discussed briefly, and corruption? Did he narc on somebody? There's something there. But we'll probably never know, simply because it's been so long. But one thing I do want to stress and emphasize is the pain and the suffering that cold case families go through. And, you know, reading a lot in communities and things like that, we hate being called cold case families because no one wants to hear that their loved one's life didn't matter enough to stay warm. The investigation didn't matter enough for someone to go dust a box off when their family member called. Because had someone just not blown us off and not lied to our faces or over the telephone or however they lied to us and just actually went and looked, this crime could have been solved. And I wasn't the only one calling. My grandmothers were calling. My aunts were calling. My uncles were calling. Cousins were calling. And if just one of those phone calls, somebody had gotten up off their behind and went and looked, the answer was there.
Is there any bright side in this?
I can't think of one.
So,
Okay. The plight, bringing the plight of families who have been forgotten for so long, I guess that will be what I try, the positive that I try to take out of this. Because we were forgotten. We were ignored. And I don't know if I said this or not, but just the already, I know I said it to you. I don't know if I've said it to the people listening. The little bit of time that I had to wait from the time from I knew who it was until Morrow County released it. And I sent them an email that morning and like, you can get ahead of this or you can go ahead and let me control this narrative because I'm telling this story. That 2 weeks of being ignored just about killed me. And so if anything, to anyone that's listening to this or anyone that listens in the future, please don't forget these people. I see these billboards now around and I see like the Patty woman that went missing from Honda. And I see the woman, the Joni woman, and help me find my killer. And now I'm seeing these things and I'm like, is their answer laying in a box somewhere too?
It's a harrowing case. So do you blame anybody?
I would have to blame whoever did what they did back in the 80s.
But we don't know who that is.
No, but I'm going to lay blame at the feet of the police department for years for not doing, clearly they do not do anything with cold cases. Shuffle them around and lie to the people that are asking about them.
So from this point, where do you go with this? Is it just, here it is?
I haven't 100% decided yet. I'm just going to try to get myself together. I obviously already have an attorney, and we've talked about some things. I want there to be, I mean, short of my own private island at this point, I want there to be some type of accountability. I want there to be some type of system set up with all police departments, but especially Marion City, because that's the one that's ruined my life for the past 43 years, where cold cases are looked at once a year, once every 2 years, where they're done more than just if we need room, we'll move the boxes around. Give people some answers, even if it's no answer, even if it's, you know, this evidence was destroyed and we're never going to be able to solve this case. We know this, this, and this, but without this piece, nothing's going to, I mean, give people something and said, you know what? If you don't know anything, at least answer their damn telephone call. Send them an email back that, you know, we're sorry, we took a look at this and there isn't anything. Stop ignoring people.
For people, because mother's a big word, for people who have their mothers in their life and know who their mothers are, what's the connection you have with your mother?
I have a couple of pictures. I talk to her when I'm alone. That's all I have.
You obviously have a very strong feeling toward her, though.
Yes.
What is that feeling?
Her life mattered. Justice. People need to know her story. She was important. She was loved. She was needed. She was forgotten, but not by everyone.
How do you think your life would have been different had this not happened?
A lot of lives would have been different if this hadn't happened. The sister that adopted me and her husband, they were very physically abusive. And as a child, I was beat with a belt for spilling milk. You know, my family was just very, very physically abusive. And I wonder if, you know, people tell me all the time I look just like her. So, you know, I sit and wonder now if maybe if I didn't look just like her, that wouldn't have happened. I think she would have loved me. I think I would have had a better childhood than I did. I think my cousins would have had a better childhood. I think everybody would have just had better lives. And but, you know, like my counselor says, the what-ifs will kill you. So I can't what-if myself to death.
What if is a tough thing to do. And so do we have any idea, any reasoning as to why this guy did this 17-year-old girl walking to Kroger?
Crime of opportunity. And he went on to continue being a violent offender. I don't know if you've heard or not, but other Facebook stories, his father was married to, it would have been his stepmother, it wasn't his mother. I think this was after my mom died, so he was 20, because Dana Slane was 19 when he killed my mother. He was 20, and his stepsister was murdered. She was found murdered. So, you know, the family always thought he did it, but there was no proof. But now when you come back with this indictment against for my mother, and now hear that his stepsister was murdered, I mean, obviously we can't prove it, but those facts certainly seem inconvenient, don't they? Or more than, my goodness, I can't even think. More than coincidence, you know, that he's been indicted for murdering one person and his stepsister's also murdered.
What do you think it's done to you personality-wise?
Made me hard. Tough. I don't know. It's done different things to me over the years.
Well, I think the common question for people who've seen what you've posted on social media and the activism you have against city government or county government or whatever's going on, people probably wonder, is this from this, a childhood that wasn't so good, a mother who you did not know, who now you know all this about, who you knew she was murdered, mm-hmm. That's enough. Does all this come from that? Does all this come from a feeling, I think they say, injustice. You know, kids who feel helpless, mm-hmm. you know, have to do something.
Yes, I do believe that looking back, reflecting on things, yes, definitely fighting for people who have never gotten a fair shake in life or have been the victims of injustice or, yeah, just haven't had everything, the greatest things handed to them, that have had rougher life experiences than other people.
How has this shaped your opinions and feelings of men in power, powerful positions?
I've always kind of been the patriarchy kind of gal, but this is just, I think it shows how deeply rooted corruption is. And then even in this situation, the willingness of the police to protect their own, because the Morrow County Sheriff, the first time I went to see them, I saw them twice in 1 week. The first time was when I got the phone call. Detective Newsom and his lieutenant were there. They were both very kind to me. They told me what they could tell me. They didn't have the indictment yet, so they weren't going to give me names. I understood. When I went back the day of the indictment. Now, see, I was actually supposed to go to grand jury that morning. I just wanted to be there. Like, that was going to be the only time I ever got to go to court over this. I didn't care if I was going to sit in a room by myself while it went on. I wanted to be there. Well, I got a call that morning. The building's being worked on. We didn't have a spot for you to sit. Okay, bullshit, but fine. Then I was to meet them at the sheriff's department. Okay, I went there. And it was the same two detectives that I had met with before. Detective Newsom, who had done the work in this, and his detective, Chalfant, or his lieutenant, Chalfant, I believe is his name. Also a very nice man. And then they had a trainee guy in there, which I understand people need to learn, but maybe not while people are having their lives ripped apart right in front of them. And then there was another, I don't know if he's like the chief deputy or who he was, but he was the one that was running interference. So the questions that I would ask, he was sitting to the left of me, kind of behind me, and the detective that I was talking to was sitting
to the right and kind of at the front of the table. And the Detective Newsom would start to tell me something. And I don't remember the guy at the end of the table, but like I could tell he was shaking his head no, because Newsom would immediately stop talking. And my husband said he looked over a few times and the guy just shook his head no when Newsom was getting ready to tell me something. So even he came that day to handle and manage what I was being told, because this is just looks so horrible. A Marion City Police Department, that they wanted to make sure that I didn't get enough information. They wanted to, please don't put this on social media until we go public. And then I have to threaten to go public before they go public. The sheriff, I was told that day that I should have been grateful to the sheriff by the guy that was running interference, because most sheriffs wouldn't take, they're so busy and understaffed, they wouldn't take a detective and spend this much time on one cold case. And I stopped him in his tracks and I said, I'm not saying that I'm not grateful for what happened today, but I am not going to say thank you for getting an answer that we should have had 43 years ago. And, you know, I'm not going to say thank you to your sheriff, who I've begged since he's been the sheriff to do something. And he's ignored me, couldn't even respond to my emails, because you know me, I'm going to keep an email. I don't care if it's from 12 years ago, I've still got it if I sent it and it's important. And if you sent me a response, I've got that too. So he's like, well, I've only ever read one email. I was like, if you really want me to bust him out right now, I will. And he shut his mouth. So I don't know if like they didn't talk to Marion about me before they went and did all this, but I'm not afraid of Sheriff Hinton. I'm grateful to Andrew Wick, but the fact that they were, that I had to demand that they made a statement on a 46-year-old cold case that is solved, not a press release, not in the newspaper, nothing, a Facebook blurb, is all that a 46-year-old cold case was worth to them. Not even a blurb in the Sentinel, nothing. Ray Grogan would have had the press lined up as soon as the paper, the subpoena or the indictment got signed. He would have been out there in front of the cameras talking about how we brought peace and justice to this family after almost half a century. And all I can get is a Facebook post.
What would you like from the Marion Police Department?
Some explanation as to reason why a box with my mother's murderer laid in it, in wherever it is that you keep ignored files, and why somebody couldn't get up off their ass one time in how many ever years they've worked there. Why clearly they have no policy between, let's just go the last two chiefs, McDonald and Collins. They have no policy for cold cases. Otherwise, this would have been solved.
You know, it's very hard for a lot of people to hear law enforcement critiqued.
Well, then they've never been on the receiving end.
Right. Is it hard to critique law enforcement in a way? Have you received any backlash?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's that like?
I don't care. These people haven't lived this. If it was your dead loved one, your mother that you never met, if it was your sister, someone that you knew their whole life, and the answer to their death could have been known decades ago, would you be saying good things about the police? Would you be talking about, oh, it's so much to serve and protect?
Have you been surprised that there have been people who have been negative about this?
I'm never surprised when people are negative. But yes, Dana Slane's family, some of them have attacked me on Facebook. And I'll tell them, I'll tell anyone that's listening, I didn't do this. If you want to be angry at someone, go be angry at Dana's grave. I was 5 months old when this happened. Lay this anger at his feet, not mine. It's not my fault you loved a murderer. Okay? I'm sorry that this is how they found out, because apparently Morrow County didn't even do them the service of telling them that their loved one had been indicted for murder. They found out on Facebook.
So they're upset.
I reckon.
And they come at you with that?
Some of them did, yes.
What's their point at this?
Well, the daughter, she didn't realize I knew she was the daughter, because remember, I've known who all these people were for weeks now. And I think that everyone thinks I'm this crazy psycho. I think it should be noted that I knew who all of these people were, and I contacted none of them. I made no contact with any of these people. On the Morrow County page, I just stated I'm her daughter, something simple. Oh, and that he had died in a car accident. Well, the girl that's his daughter, Ashley Everly, there we go, she didn't realize that I knew that she was his daughter. So she wanted to try to get on there and get just a little bit snotty. And I said something to the effect of, you shouldn't even be alive. You were born in 1984. Theoretically, you shouldn't even be alive because your dad should have been in prison before he met your mom. And she's like, what are you talking about? Then I went ahead and just posted her adoption papers online. She wasn't expecting any of that. So she decided maybe this was a fight that she didn't want. But it seems like she ran off and told her little cousins. Well, her cousins are getting in my inbox and everything else. Well, I know her cousins' in-laws. Then the in-laws are texting my husband and telling my husband to handle me or whatever. And the mother-in-law is like, I know your mom was murdered, but I know how you feel. I know your mom was murdered, but no. If you know how I feel, you would never type the sentence, I know your mom was murdered, but no. So you can go all the way to hell with that one, too.
So Monday is your mother's birthday.
Yes.
And she would have been?
64.
And you plan to go to the cemetery?
I don't know.
You don't know yet?
I don't know.
Well, knowing this information that you have not known in your time, what does it mean this year? Mean anything different?
If I do go, it'll be the first time that I'll be able to talk to her, not wonder what happened to her. And I'll be out, my grandmas are right there, and I'd be able to tell them that we finally got answers. But the son of a bitch is somewhere in the cemetery. So that would probably be more of what I would want to know than to be in that moment.
So you would want to go to his?
No, I don't. Knowing where, wanting to know where he was would take away from the moment of being with them.
But because he is buried there, that's why you might not go.
Right.
Right.
They're in the very, very back. So I know it's the very back row. So I know that at some point I would be driving past him.
What do you make of the irony of that?
I don't know. The universe's cruel way of, I don't know. I don't know.
What if, for people who may not understand that, what impact does that have? I mean, he's been there all the years you've been there.
Yeah, I've been driving past my mom's murderer a few times a year to go say, I wish I knew you.
So this year would be different because you know.
Yeah, I know that someone laying in one of those places nearby is the reason why I don't know her.
What would you like to say to her if she were here? What would you say to her, your mother?
I wish she hadn't gone out for formula that night. I wish we would have gotten a lifetime together. I love you. I'm sorry that your memory is so painful for everyone.
When you see her pictures today, what do you think?
I wish I could have seen her face and remember.
She was going out for formula, and you were her only child.
Yeah.
What? How does that work? How do you feel about that?
That's been a lifetime of misery. Because as many times and as many people tell you, you can't blame yourself, Naomi. You were a baby. You can't blame yourself. Like, you know, you still do.
But you can't. You really can't. I mean, you might, but you can't. I mean, could have been anything. Could have been a loaf of bread.
And everybody says you could have been with her and you might have been ended up dead. Okay, well, I wouldn't have known that. I'd be dead. You know, so, and I understand that people just try to come up with answers because it's so shocking and horrific. You don't know what to say. And I get that. But boy, I've gotten some doozies over the years. So it's why it's just been something that I don't typically talk about.
Is there any lesson to be learned here?
Well, I was telling you, you and your strange Scott Spears family have kind of brought this all to fruition, and I guess don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to stand up for what you think is right, because this is a day that I never thought, this is a conversation I never thought I would be having, and it happened because I wasn't afraid to speak up about something else, and I built a community of people. I don't want to say built. A community of people have been built through our non-fear or our disdain of the way things are. And that really helped bring this to life.
You know, and there's another irony, a positive irony, in that because you have been outspoken in the last couple years, apparently this came to fruition.
Yes, yes. This is kind of my reward, I suppose.
So how does that make you feel?
Again, it's another one of those things where the universe is lined up and, yeah, I got an answer I really didn't want, but it's an answer, I suppose. So every time you would Google my mother before, it would be something like unsolved murder or body found in ditch or something like that. So my closure on this is going to be that when it's Googled, the name Dana Slane posthumously indicted for Catherine Louise Conley's murder, that's what's going to pop up. So that's going to be my closure or the healing that I get. It's no longer going to be body found in ditch. It's going to be posthumous indictment. So that's my closure, and that's the universe given back to me, I guess, for helping other people.
Now, we've got about 20 minutes left in the broadcast here today, and I've seen that the phone has rung a few times. So, I mean, if somebody has something on this topic that they would like to share, because I remember the night we did the story a few weeks ago, that was a very poignant night, I felt, with the gentleman who was the body camera footage.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have something to say and it's on this topic, feel free. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Because I have seen the phone ring a couple times. So if it is, but you know, I know it's a difficult topic to talk about as well. 740-383-9944 if you had something you'd like to say. So we can do that as well. This guy died in a car accident, you say?
That's what I was told by the Morrow County Sheriff's Detective. Now, he told me if you believe in karma and you believe in the universe kind of thing, he said he was driving to Cedar Point when he was killed in the car accident. But his daughter, Ashley Everly, is the one that came on the Morrow County page and said, no, that's not how he died. And I said, well, I don't care. I hope it was equally as horrible.
And we got a call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Naomi, I want to give you my condolences. I can hear in your voice how bad this is hurting you, and I wish there's a way to make it all right. But I was going to ask you, and then you answered it. You don't know who the police chief was back in 83?
Well, first, Lee, thanks for the kind words. I certainly appreciate them. And no, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it can be found, but I've just been trying to deal with not losing my mind and haven't really looked up some of that stuff yet.
Yeah, well, when you look, you know, if you find out, you know, say it on the internet, I mean.
Oh, you know I will, Lee.
His family don't need to be proud of him. And Marion City just like you say, they don't go through cold cases. They had a nice case right there. They could have done something, but the letter not being transferred over to Morrow County. Is there any way of suing the city for this?
There is something that's called gross dereliction of duty. And like I said, I have an attorney and I've spoken with him, but we're handling one situation at a time. My big thing that I really want, Lee, is I don't want this to happen to any other family ever again.
Right.
Ever. No one should have to endure this.
And if you take action, maybe that'll change the way the city police is. I hope in your lawsuits that you just nail the city. I don't care if it's for this problem or the other problems you're having with the city. I hope you nail them to the wall.
Thank you, Lee. Okay.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye.
All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Very nice call there. A lot of people probably feel, go after them.
There does need to be some accountability, and just, I mean, there's real anger on my part to know that there are people still around that most definitely lied to us. Most definitely. Because, you know, they're proud of their 30 years of service. Well, in that 30 years, you could have been solving a cold case.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott. Naomi, it's really strange how big the world is, but how small it is. There, Carol and I met you first time in our lives and the first time that you've seen us in your life. But hasn't it been a happy thing when we met and talked just very, very few days ago that it brought another person and you and Carol and I together that we would have never known anything about that. So hang in there. And
don't hang up yet, Ted. I was telling Scott that you actually stopped by to see me, and I was telling him about the weird little community he's built of people that love each other and want to see each other do well, and I was telling him that you're quite the cut-up in person.
Yeah, okay. And you know what? I've been very fortunate, and why in my life that I got hooked up with Scott, but you know what? I've known almost everyone that's called in or per se in the last few years, because since I retired, I listen to the show and I listen to it faithfully. And the people that's been on the show and called in, it's a lot different if you meet them eye to eye and know who's talking. And today it sunk in real deeply who you really are. And thank you, Scott, and Neoma, hang in there.
Thank you, Ted.
As we talked before, we'll be seeing you sometime.
You will, I promise. And give Miss Carol a hug for me, please.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, bye-bye. All right, and again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What's it mean to hear things like this? That's not bad.
The words of encouragement have really helped me get through. Even absolute strangers have sent me nice messages, and even Scott Spears asked me how I was doing. Don't tell anyone that.
Don't tell anyone. It'll ruin my whole reputation.
Yes, he has a soft spot, folks. But it's helped. It really has, just to know that people care. Because it's been mind-blowing. It's been surreal.
Well, I think, you know, as I always say on Mother's Day, mothers get taken out more on Mother's Day. The restaurants are busier. It's just a different thing. There's something, you know, even if you didn't know your mother, and I've known a lot of people who didn't. They died young or something happened. There's just something different about mother than father, and I'm not really sure what that is.
Oh, I agree, especially, you know, as a mother. I think it has to do with the whole 9 months of gestation, personally, or, you know, possibly the C-sections. But, yeah, I mean, culturally, we tend to value mothers more than we do fathers. Well, I guess show love, more affectionate towards mothers. But mothers are also more affectionate towards their children than fathers. So, you know, is that a societal thing?
It could be. How do you feel about this man? Obviously not well. This man who has been indicted posthumously, he's gone. He can't hear from you. If you could say something to him, what would you want to say that's radio appropriate?
Well, okay. His obituary has him listed as the boatman, and he had all of these speedboats or whatever. So I just would like to tell him I hope he's enjoying the Lake of Fire. And actually, a friend knew this person, knew the family, and it does give me a little bit of satisfaction. I was told that his own son does not like to use his last name, does not like to go by the last name Slain, that the daughter-in-law would not have anything to do with Dana while he was alive, and that when he died, his son went to his funeral and told everyone that he hated his dad and that he was only there for his mother. So hopefully the strained relationship that he had with his son was just a smidge of the hell that he deserved.
Well, do we know anything about him? Do you care to know anything beyond that about him? Did he work? Did he have a...
He had retired, I don't know, from somewhere, but he'd gotten his fancy speedboat that he'd always wanted, that he'd always dreamt of, and died shortly thereafter. Couldn't think of a more deserving fellow for that to happen to.
And was he ever in prison for anything?
I think he was in prison at some point in time. I know he was well known to the police for drunken shenanigans. Well, actually, somebody messaged me on Facebook and said, do you know when his birth date was? And I sent it to him. They're like, yeah, he was drunk and got a DUI when he smashed into my car and almost killed me in such and such year. So, yeah, he was quite the fella.
So, this letter that ended up in the files at the Marion Police Department. Do we know where this came from?
No.
Not at all?
No.
But he just decided he was going to write it down.
He wrote the letter and sent it to Duke.
Right. But
we don't know how it came from prison to the police department. We don't know where that... How it made it into the police department custody is unknown.
So why was he writing a guy in prison? Is that his friend?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they're still friends. Well, he's dead, but they were still friends. I mean, because even when Duke got out of prison, Dana told him that he had murdered my mother.
Mm. So he sends a letter into prison about how he murdered somebody.
Mm-hmm. But you got to think back then, you're talking early 80s, they didn't necessarily read every single letter do now. They were saying... Mainly like shakeout envelopes and no contraband, that sort of thing. No nudies, no cigarettes, that sort of stuff. So they didn't necessarily read every single letter. Now, I'm thinking some prison guard found it and thought, this needs turned in. And it got turned in from the prison, but it's not documented how Marion City Police Department got it.
When you look back at the whole thing now, do you have any regrets?
I regret, now that all of my family is gone, I regret not, I was younger though, I just wish that I would have known more things about psychology and things like that and helped us work on being together and not so fractured and splintered. So... I mean, as far as regrets, things I didn't know that there's nothing I can change.
You know, we've had this discussion on the station recently, and some people feel that things always get better. Do things always get better?
No. They just change.
You say you'll never get over this. How do you get through it?
I'm not sure yet. I'll let you know.
But you will.
I will.
You will. Your son, what's his take on this? Obviously, he's aware.
Mm-hmm. He's been trying to help around the house more. He's been trying to be more independent when it comes to school, but that's just going to drive me crazy because I need to check all your answers. He's a good kid, but he's just tried to be, he's sassy sometimes, teenagers are. He's just tried to be extra loving and supportive. I tried, when I'm going to have my breakdowns, I try to go
away from him. And sometimes he knows that's what I'm doing and he'll follow me, or sometimes he just knows I need to be left alone. But this is a lot for a kid to bear, too.
You know, it's interesting because you used a lot of adjectives that people have referred to you as today, you know, crazy, angry, whatever it's been. Do you think that any of that, the personality, comes from having to endure this?
For a lifetime? Yes. Yeah. Yes. I've fought my whole life, basically. So that's my default. Now, people that know me, I love my friends and my family, and I love people in general. I just won't take any shit from anyone because I've taken it my whole life. I have zero tolerance for it. Zero.
Do you think through this that some of the people that you've come in contact with that don't know anything about you except there you are might learn something from this about you?
I'm obviously, love me or hate me, I don't care. But hopefully it would give them a perspective into the reason why I see things through the lens that I see things, that I see more injustice and kind of more conspiracy, or however you want to put it, in to things than other people do.
Do you think that there was any way this could have gone any better? I mean, it happened when you were a baby, infant. Is there any way it could have gone any better? Aside from him being, you know, arrested.
As far as it goes, I think it, the fact that I was a child and don't remember her, or baby and don't remember her, if there is a quote-unquote blessing in this situation, that would be it, because it is a stranger. She is a stranger that I lost. I don't have the memories of her voice. I don't have the memories of her smile. I don't have the memories of how she smelled or the way she rocked me at night. You know, I don't have all the memories that my family had that they took to the grave. So I don't have that part consuming me constantly. So if there's a good part in what happened, it would be that I was so young when it happened.
Has this in any way brought you closer to her, this indictment and this information?
Yes, because I guess I've been able to do, I've compartmentalized it for so many years that I was able to release those feelings and accept a different set of feelings. But like, my promise to her now is just to tell her story to as many people as I can, and that's my gift to her. You know, so that's I never talked about her before, so now I'm going to talk about her.
What is the best part of this? What's the worst?
The worst is knowing that it should have been solved decades and decades ago. The best part. The best is yet to come, I suppose.
Is there always a bright day ahead?
There's always good to be found. Usually, I can't say always. There's usually good to be found somewhere. My son got his driver's license yesterday. First try. My 18th wedding anniversary happened during the middle of this. Well, wedding, our wedding. So there's always something good if you look. You can. There's definitely a lot of bad that can consume us. But you got to find that one good and keep looking toward it.
What do you tell your son about grandma?
Even the mother that adopted me and raised me died before he was born. My family all died very young because of grief. Like, my aunt was, that raised me was 53. My aunt, another aunt was 57. So my son has been raised without all of his aunts and uncles as well. So he, the effect on him is that he's had no family. And like, he can't believe that his life is a real life Law and Order, basically, kind of murder mystery. Yeah.
Do you ever say, why me?
Oh, I used to, but now I just say, of course.
Why of course?
Because it's like, if it can go wrong or crazy or stupid, it's going to happen to me.
Why do you think that?
Well, I'd say my life's a pretty good indicator of that.
Well, we're going to get one more call in here. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. I just wanted to make a couple comments, and I wanted to say publicly, and I'm a little emotional, how much I support Naomi Craig and her battle, and I'm so happy that these truths are finally being revealed. I'm happy she's getting this little speck of closure, that there's so much more that must come out. I want to say to Mayor Collins, I want to say to Chief McDonald, Mark Russell, the whole Marion Police Force, y'all should be ashamed of yourselves. This is such a huge black mark on this whole city, the strong town recipient. We love our city. Do we love all of our constituents? Do we love all of our people? Mm-hmm. I would fully expect that Mayor Collins, who spent his whole career in the police department as a patrolman, a lieutenant, a chief, the second in command of the sheriff's office, and now the mayor, the figurehead of this strong town, should be having a press conference saying, you know what, we're looking into this. We're opening all the files. We're going to make sure this never happens again. And to all you Christians out there who hate Naomi Craig without ever knowing her, without ever trying to understand her, y'all need to check your hearts. Y'all need to check who and what you really stand for. I know some very good people out there in this city that give me huge shit for supporting this woman, and they don't care about why she feels, why she acts, why she talks the way she does. She talks the way she does and acts the way she does is because she's had to fight this world by herself. I'm so sick of all of this. Y'all act like we're all Christians. We're all going to forgive. We have all this grace, and you have none. Naomi, I wish you all the best. I've not known you for less than a year, and we far from agree from everything, but God bless you.
Same to you. You know that I love you, ma'am.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, and those are some passionate words to end on here. Is there one word to sum this all up, Naomi?
Surreal.
Is there closure?
Never will be.
Never will be. I thank you for coming in. I know not the easiest conversation to
Thanks
have.
Thanks for listening, Scott. I appreciate it.
I really thank you for coming in. It's important that people hear about this and hear about your mom and your family and what has happened, because truth is important.
It is.
You know, it's always important. All right. Well, Linda Sims is coming up next, and Adam at noon today for this day. Very important show. Listen to it with other people. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You can't decide who's going to give you an award, but if you're doing the work, as long as you're appreciated for the work, I think that's the best. The awards are nice. I mean, it'd be nice if I got one, but I was up four times, so I was a bridesmaid, never a bride.